And as you know, this is more that what we're doing here in worshiping and praising is more than just enjoying church.
Yeah.
The scripture says, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Yes.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
And we are thrilled as we're watching God defeat the enemy and bring in his presence. And I know at our church back home, the presence of God is so tremendous. And in the worship, and for me, you could just go on and worship the entire time. After all, we do call it a worship service.
Mm-hmm.
So worship is so important.
Yeah.
The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And he wants to fulfill promise. You were speaking of promise. And of course, we know what the promise is. I will be your God. I will live among you. You will be my people. I will walk among you and be your God.
Yes.
And so worship is what's actually making that happen. Whether you're worshiping at home or whether you're worshiping in congregation, it is worship that is allowing God to take over the earth.
Yes.
And after all, the earth is the Lord's.
Amen.
And the fullness thereof.
Amen.
And the enemy is finally finding that out.
Yes.
Because God is putting the enemy in yes. his place.
Yes.
And he is taking over the earth.
Amen.
And it's a marvelous, marvelous thing to behold. So many people being born again. And, you know, by the move of God. Isn't it marvelous? Hallelujah. Well, let's stand together and make proclamation here for a little bit before we get into the teaching of the day. Father, we want to just proclaim your greatness.
Yes.
We've been singing. We've been proclaiming
yes.
your greatness. We sing hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your glory cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we do proclaim the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We proclaim heaven is your throne, the earth is your footstool.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Your greatness.
Thank you.
The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And it's happening. Oh, hallelujah. We'll just keep praising you while you make the enemy your footstool.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We know the enemy is Satan, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet. But we ask, Father, that you'd save the people. Save the people. Save all of our enemies. Hallelujah. We ask, Father, that's our prayer. That's our request of you. Save all of our enemies. We pray for them, that you would save the people. Hallelujah. Destroy the work of Satan. For this is the reason the Son of God was made manifest. To undo, dissolve, loosen, and destroy all the work the devil has done. Hallelujah. So, Father, we proclaim you victorious. That greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. And we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's do that together. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Let's do it again. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And through that I am saved. I am delivered. And I am made free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let's confess this together. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. And as I think I mentioned to you last month, these are so basic confessions. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in my heart, God has raised him from the dead. And through that, I am saved. Hallelujah. Saved from everything. Saved from everything. There isn't anything that isn't included in that salvation.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing. Anything you need, God has taken care of.
Thank you.
And all we have to do is confess.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then when we confess with our mouth, remember what Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And so as we confess that, it opens something for revelation. To him who has, will more be given. And so here we have, and now more is given. So we keep receiving revelation. And then Benny Johnson, wrote a book on intercession, and marvelous, marvelous book. If you are being called to be an intercessor, it's really important to have that, to have some guidance. But something that she mentioned is that there is a special time at sunup when the heavens open. And of course, this is the time that I'm in my office, and all of a sudden he starts downloading this revelation. So much, sometimes I can hardly write fast enough to keep up with it all. But put the two together. What if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord? And then we say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And we happen to be doing that at daybreak. Wow. What if the church all over the world did that together? Wow, wow. Or maybe it's a wow, 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 wow. Hallelujah. Okay. On these teachings, we don't want to go back any to, so I'll just take off. We're going through John 14, 15, and 16, but we're doing it by topic and not by just the order that it's written. So right now we're in John 14, 10 through 13. John 14. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Okay, so Jesus, there's the believing, there's the words, and there is the work. Hallelujah. And of course, James tells us faith without works is dead, being alone. So we don't want to have faith without works. And of course, if you go all the way back to Adam, Adam's sin was not a lack of faith. Adam believed God's word. In fact, as he could quote God's word, and he believed God's word. His sin was not obeying God's word. See, one thing to know God's word, another thing to believe God's word, but there's a whole different thing to either obey or disobey God's word. And so he disobeyed what God told him to do. He had the faith, and then, of course, he listened to the serpent. The serpent kind of mixed the wording up a little bit and therefore talked him into acting on his own will. That's what sin is acting on your own will. So when Jesus came, of course, he was tested in all three points, such as Adam was, as such as we are, yet without sin. So the three tests that he passed in the wilderness were the same three tests that Adam failed. But there was still another test. That was when he was on the cross. He was hanging on the cross, and the people mocking him, the religious leaders and so forth that were there, made the statement. They said, if you will come down off of the cross, we will believe you. We'll have the same belief system as you do, but all you have to do is come down off of the cross. To me, that was a greater temptation than all the other three tests put together. See? But he didn't, and he'd already settled it in prayer. And this is my encouragement to you. Settle these things when you're alone with the Lord. Drive down some stakes. Not going beyond right here. See? So in the garden, he said, not my will, but your will be done. So he said, I'm not going to disobey you, no matter what. Father, I'm going to do your will, even though it means me dying. See? So the greater temptation was, come off of the cross. See, when you see this, and a lot of times people say, well, I believe God. You know, do you obey? That's what makes the difference.
Yes.
If you truly believe, then you do obey. Okay, let's keep going. And believe me that I am in the Father, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever, think about it, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. So the whole thing is always doing what pleases God. We want to glorify God. See, the worship that you did this morning, see, I glorified God. God said, I'm pleased. I'm pleased with your worship. I'm pleased with your love. Yeah. Your expression of love, your expression of your faith in me. I'm pleased with this. And he said, ask what you will. And of course, because we have been changed, we're not going to ask according to our lust how we can exalt our pride or anything else. We're going to be asking for what is going to be the greater benefit of the kingdom of God. See, that's what we're praying for. And so what we want to do is please God. And then as we go out among people, whatever we ask for, whatever we ask for, we're not, you know, I'm done asking for me. I want to help people everywhere I go. I want to, you know, what is your need? How can I help you? You know, and I want to pray, and I want to be a blessing to others.
Amen.
Okay. Because I go to my Father and whatever you ask. Okay, in John 14:29, it says, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. The scripture says God won't do anything except he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. Of course, in the Old Testament, that was certain individuals. In the New Testament, that's every believer. God's not going to do anything except he's going to talk to you about it. He wants to cooperate with you.
Yes,
so he wants to share with you. This is what I'm doing. Every morning when I get up, he gives me certain assignments in proclamation. Whatever he's doing, whatever he's, whether it's to bless people or to defeat the enemy in some way, he tells me all about it. He said, now all you have to do is speak it and I'll do it. And as far as I know, it's 100%. You know, I haven't spoken anything yet that I haven't been able to actually see come to pass. And so, isn't that wonderful? That, you know, that we can speak in his behalf, because that's what it means when we say, in the name of Jesus. That's not just a magic thing. It means, in behalf of Jesus Christ, I am speaking a blessing upon you in behalf of Jesus Christ. So it's as though Jesus is standing here speaking to you, but it's me. But it's not me. See, fact is, it's Jesus standing here teaching you, but I happen to be the body he lives in. Got it? So, like in Acts chapter 9, where Peter walks up to the guy that's a cripple, and he said, Jesus Christ makes you well. And he walks away, and the guy's well. That's where we're going. See?
Amen.
That's where we're going. And Christ, the word Christ, Jesus Christ, the Lord, Lord means rulership, Jesus' salvation, Christ is the anointed one. So Christ in the New Testament is the same as Messiah in the Old Testament, and both of them mean the anointed one. So with anointing comes manifestations. So what the Antichrist will be doing is trying to stop manifestations. Remember, Jesus, when he cast the demon out of this one fella, and they said, oh, he did it by Beelzebub. And Jesus replied to that, I'm cutting it kind of short there, but he said, you can say whatever you want against the Son of Man. In other words, you can say whatever you want against me, Jesus, but you don't speak against the Holy Spirit. You don't speak against the Holy Spirit. That's what Antichrist is. It's not anti-Jesus, but it's the anointing or manifestations that has Satan upset, that has the Antichrist working overtime. And we also know that because it says that he will be doing great miracles. There'll be great manifestations by the Antichrist, by the beast, that will even deceive the elect, if possible. And so what? You don't duplicate or imitate something or counterfeit something unless there is something that is real. It wouldn't do any good to make a counterfeit $7 bill. Because there isn't any such thing, so no, nobody'd pay any attention. But people are walking. And so we know then, as we're moving along here, the believers will be moving in great manifestations, healing the sick, casting out demons, doing miracles of all kinds. And then the Antichrist will try to do greater than that. But there's a problem. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So it doesn't matter. And he's making us to be overcomers. So we'll always be greater than the enemy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We'll always be doing greater things. So that's what he's talking about here. Ask anything in my name, and I'm going to do it. Ask it in my behalf. Speak in my behalf. Proclaim in my behalf. And I will do it.
Amen.
So he said, now I've told you these things before they happen, so you will believe. Mm-hmm. He will keep you updated. Live in the Word. Live in the Spirit. Spend time every day worshiping God. And let him talk to you. Let him tell you what's going on every day. Because the church of the living God, the body of Christ, is taking over the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
John 16:27. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. So our belief system then is believing that Jesus came forth from God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Revelation, which is something that has to be believed before we can act on it in obedience. Okay? So you have now you have a belief system. First of all, and I've mentioned this before, but don't get ridiculous in trying to believe for things. Believe what you believe. Believe what you can believe. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. That's enough. I also believe that God sent Jesus, and that's added. I believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yes.
See? I believe that he is victorious over the devil.
Amen.
I believe Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Believe what you can believe, and then God will expand that belief system. But always keep it in the realm of reality. We'll get to that as we move down here a little bit. But keep your belief system in the realm of reality. God's wanting to produce results by faith. He created the universe by faith. Everything God does is by faith. And so he's including you in this belief system. You have to be included in the belief system with the faith of Jesus Christ living inside of you. See? Faith himself lives inside of you. Faith himself. He's the author. He's the finisher of faith. He lives inside of you. So you have a belief system that is from heaven. Not something somebody told you. It's not something that we repeat. Now, I think I shared with you one time, many, many years ago, I was driving up toward Chillicothe, and we were starting to run kind of low on our finances. And I'd learned from the charismatic teaching, I believe my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so I started speaking it, but it wasn't real. And so I thought, well, if I said it louder, I believe my God is supplying all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I kept going because I was driving, so I had plenty of time. And I just, you know, and I paused. I started to go again, and God spoke to me. And he said, shut up. I said, what am I doing wrong? He said, all you're doing is displaying your unbelief by your constant ranting. I said, well, what do I need to do? He said, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And so I did. Abba, Father. And from that day to this day, God has met all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Because Daddy enjoys doing it.
Amen.
Daddy enjoys doing it. Not because I was able to shout loud or quote the right scripture or any of that. He wants relationship. Abba. Abba. Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This is so exciting. What, you know, where we're moving with all of this. Okay. John 16, 30, verses 30 and 31. Now we are sure that you know all things. The disciples are talking back now, talking to the Lord. We are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. And Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" They just said they believe. Now, do you really believe? Well, see, what he said, will it actually show up in obedience? Will it show up in what you do with your life? That's what makes the difference. It's not just saying, "I believe." It's how we conduct our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. John 17, 8. Now we're going back into the prayer of faith that Jesus prayed. We covered that quite a few months back. This is the prayer of Jesus. And he's speaking to the Father, "For I have given to them your words, which you have given me." So he is the Word of God. And yet he received the Word of God. And by the way, he defeated Satan in the wilderness by quoting the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So he's given them the words which you have given me. So they've come from the Father and they have received them. That's a big difference. Not just say, "Oh, I read that. That's really wonderful." You could say, "Boy, wasn't that a good sermon that Wayne preached this morning? Wouldn't do you a bit of good." Doesn't do a thing unless you receive it.
Amen.
Unless you receive it from God. Not from me. You receive it from God. And as you receive what God is giving, the Word of God, the living Word of God, it will transform your life. It'll transform your belief system to where you will end up with absolute assurance. Remember back when we did the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." It's the assurance. It's the title deed. You have it. It's yours. Okay? So they have known surely that I came forth from you and believe that you have sent me. So this is the perfect belief system that God had in mind when he created the heavens and the earth, what put people on it. Wanted a people who would believe him, not just believe in him, which is important that we believe in him. Because Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe in me also. Believe in me, believe also in my Father." He keeps repeating that. But so here's this perfect belief system. But now it becomes ours through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
"Now I do not pray for these alone, but for all those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world..." Think about it. "That the world may believe." There's a belief system. And as we allow that belief system, which is actually God in you, which is Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of faith, living in you, establishing this perfect belief, this absolute assurance, as I said earlier, that the world may believe that you sent me. So now he's praying. This is his prayer. And there's this unity of the Spirit that is coming, that he's talking about here, that they may be one, that there's going to be this unity. You can't look at statistics. You can't look at systems. You know, I mean, if we look at the body of Christ, it's like it'll never come together. They'll never love one another. The Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Baptists and, you know. But when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come in, there will come a unity of the Spirit. There'll not be a single spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and there will be a perfect unity of the Spirit. And it will happen as the kingdom of God comes on the earth. And Satan, of course, his whole thing, here again, when, you know, we can tell what God's up to, because a lot of times by watching what Satan's up to. What does Satan want to do? Divide and destroy. Divide and destroy. Divide and destroy. It seems like all the news media is, so-and-so and so-and-so are against each other. You know? And there's absolutely no reason to say that, because there's no reality to it. But they're going to go ahead and say it, hoping that they'll create a division, a wedge in between. In marriage counseling, a lot of times people will come and, you know, husband and wife, and of course the husband thinks it's the wife's fault, the wife thinks it's the husband's fault. And I said, well, let's try something a little different. I said, Satan comes in and he drives a wedge in. So trying to figure out, rather than trying to figure out who's at fault, let's pull the wedge out and see what happens. And it happens every time. Satan is the problem.
That's right.
It's not the husband, it's not the wife, it's Satan driving a wedge. That's his whole thing. What is going to save the church of the living God? Truth.
Yes.
Truth will save the church of the living God.
That's true. Yes.
We're doing tremendous warfare, and God's fighting from heaven. Sometimes he'll open up the heavens for me, and I can see the tremendous battle between the forces of God and the forces of Satan going on in heavenly places. But he's going to win that, and he's going to win here.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. And the more cheerleaders he has here, the faster he will work to bring heaven to earth. We need to be aware of what Satan is up to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, that the world may believe that you sent me. That the world may believe. It's the witness that is making the difference. The beautiful thing is that God is watching over it all. Now, if we were in the Old Testament, we would just simply say, God, wipe out the enemy. Or God, defeat the enemy. We're in the New Testament. And God says, pray for your enemies. Bless your enemies. Do good for your enemies. And what will happen? They will believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And nobody can stop them. Nobody can stop them. You can't stop the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's true.
No.
That's right.
And so God wins.
Amen.
So the whole purpose then, that the world may believe that you sent me. He who believes the Son of God as his witness in himself. That'll be a whole sermon just in that one verse. But we'll pick it up there. Let's stand together. What a day of rejoicing.
Thank you, Lord. Glory.
What a God we serve.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
We prepare the way of the Lord.
Yes.
We worship and we worship.
Yes.
And we believe and we speak and we proclaim.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We pray.
Yes, Lord.
And it comes to pass.
Yes. Thank you,
with
Lord.
Absolute
Thank
assurance
you,
that you're doing
you word, Lord.
All that you have yes. recorded in your word that you're going to do.
Yes.
And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name,
yes.
Amen.